Now let's get underway with our broadcast partners. First to the microphone today, Colonel Bob McGinnis out of Washington, D.C. area. Bob, we've got a lot of issues to deal with, so let me get right to it. I would suggest probably the number one story is the terror attack on the Jewish school there in southern France. Bob, is this indicative of the rising population of the Muslim community in not only France but Europe, but also the tip of the iceberg of what is happening to the Jewish world, the people, Jewish people around the world, under attack by Islamic fundamentalists? What do you think this is all a result of?
Well, I think all yes in that regard. Mohamed Merah is an Algerian who, of course, in northern African, where you have Al-Qaeda is very prevalent, and you have a very serious Islamic radical element throughout that region, as well as elsewhere in the Middle East. The French have about 25% of their population are now Islamic. They have communities where there's no outside authority allowed in. And I've written about this over the years in what I call sort of like the Dalmatian effect across Europe, where you have little communities that are truly Islamic ghettos, where there is no outside influence allowed in, where Sharia law, and for the most part, is enforced, and the national authorities, aren't allowed in to do anything. So this guy apparently was striking out at a number of factors. Certainly making a statement, allegedly based on what he said, about Palestinians being mistreated by the French military and by the French government. Also, the Jewish people were attacked, and there's a large Jewish community in France and, of course, in Toulouse, and he went after a local school and a rabbi that happened to be going into school at the time. So this sort of issue is very problematic and not at all surprising in Western Europe today, and I fear that it will come to this country if we're not very careful.
Well, hey, speaking about that, there's a report out from the United States Congress that Iran may activate U.S. Hezbollah cells if there is a strike on Iran. I mean, could this be the same effect here in America?
Well, it could be. You have, of course, well-known factors, elements of Hezbollah sympathizers in the United States, not only financially supporting, and we've seen some of these in the media, but obviously there was somebody with Iranian sympathies that crossed into the United States this past year and tried to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States in Washington. So should they be cells? It's hard to tell. Are there people out there that have military training and access to weapons and explosives, probably. This is a big country. It's hard to track everyone. We, of course, with Homeland Security and local police departments and various agencies, try to identify suspect people, but you have communities like Dearborn, Michigan, where it's just a large Islamic community where there's little outside influence. And those particular types of communities are becoming what we saw in Western Europe, where they have excluded the local culture and the local people from infiltrating, and they're building their own little infrastructure and their own law enforcement. So this is something we have to watch for.
Yeah.
It is dangerous indeed.
Well, is not there a possibility or a factor that it comes into this equation with the many Muslims that have come here to live in America? They may not be terrorist cells, but they're very sympathetic to the cause of some of these organizations, and they're helping support them. That could quickly turn them into activists, could it not?
Well, it certainly has the possibility of that. We have people that come to this country that bring their customs and traditions as well as their faith, and we've had incidences of honor killing in this country, which is not only against the law, obviously, but indicative of what was part of a culture, an Islamic culture, where they came from. And then, You know, that sort of thing we just don't tolerate in this particular country, and yet we have to be careful before it does take root and get out of control.
That is absolutely correct. Let me get some information about a number of other issues, maybe staccato answers. The question about Muqtada Sadr, he is somewhat of an activist there in Iraq, seemingly is trying to incite unrest among those who are wanting more government services, as the government is barely able to stand up itself.
Well, of course, 90-plus percent of the economy in Iraq is fueled by oil, and there have been issues with oil production, which, if there was more peace, they could probably produce more. But Muqtada Sadr hosted this week a large rally down in the southern city of Basra. It was mostly against the Maliki government and, some of his social policies on welfare and so forth. But it's also because next week you have the Arab League summit there in Baghdad, and it's a political statement about, the power structures to be in Baghdad. And I think it's a subtle statement that Tehran is watching.
Well, is not Sadr a Iranian-educated cleric and a very radical cleric and with ambitions politically?
Well, his father, of course, was the Grand Ayatollah in Iraq, and then, of course, yes, in 04, running from U.S. authorities in Iraq, Sadr went into Iran, where for 5 years he was educated in Qom, which is their holy city, and so he's back in Iraq, has political persuasions, because he's, part of, indirectly, the government of Maliki, who's a Shiite himself, who came out of Iran. So you have a lot of interesting back and forth there, but he is a player, and it's one of significance.
The legislature of Egypt has been elected. About 75% of the members are of the Muslim Brotherhood persuasion, or even the Salafi, who are farther to the right. But now the Brotherhood thinking about making a bid for the Egyptian presidency. They want to take control of the whole country, don't they?
Well, they haven't made a secret of that for the most part. They were shut out by Mubarak until the last 10 years of his rule, and then they're allowed to have, through other activities, some place in parliament. Now they dominate, and of course, because they can't seem to find among the leading contenders for the presidency anyone that they necessarily can support. The Muslim Brotherhood is entertaining the idea of electing their own representative. And should they want to, they probably can. And, of course, that has serious ramifications for the treaty with Israel and, of course, the relationship they have with the U.S.
Now, Bob, the Muslim Brotherhood, we know, has basically taken control politically of Egypt. They have a major influence in what's going on in Libya. But now the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamists seeking influence in the Syrian uprising. This is, again, the spread of this radical Islam.
Well, it's interesting. You have a large Sunni population. They tend to be, 70% of the Syrian population landscape there. And they, of course, are populating the Free Syrian Army in its effort to topple President Assad. Now, I don't think Assad's going anywhere anytime soon. He seems, with his very large 300,000-man army, able to cope with the resistance. But you are beginning to see, ever so slowly, the infiltration of Islamic radicals, anti-regime activities that, appear to be aligned with al-Qaeda. And what you've seen elsewhere, like in Iraq over the years, is beginning to show its face in Syria. I don't think it's going to have a major effect initially, but down the line it could.
Yeah, and what about the Russian troops? I understand they have some advisors from the Russian military there in Syria as well.
The Russians have had, quote, advisors there for many, many years, some more than others, certainly intelligence personnel in Damascus. What you're talking about is the anti-terror squad that came aboard a Russian vessel that is operating out of Tarsus, and they've had presence there for some time. Of course, during the Cold War, they were always there, and here in the last year plus, they've had a presence because they're building up that port as their Mediterranean harbor of choice. And, of course, that allows the Russians to deliver arms to Assad and to, you know, have its footprint in the Middle East, which is something desirable.
Give me about 15 seconds, Bob. Maybe I'm not being fair to you. But the Chinese cyber military activities focused on crippling U.S. infrastructure. Is that true? That's the report I hear.
A new report out. There have been 86 reported attacks on computer systems that have control over critical infrastructure just in the last 7 months. And those numbers increase. It is a very serious threat, one that is propagated mostly by Chinese and Russians, but others are coming to the fore.
Colonel Bob McGinnis from the Washington, D.C. area with a look at geopolitical activities around this world, assisting us in understanding what is behind some of the headlines that we are reading this last week. Bob, thank you so very much, my friend. Have a good weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.